y'all see Jesse tonight? Doesn't he look cute up here on stage? Oh my gosh. I had hoped that he would rub off on the Galvan boys, but I think the Galvan boys have rubbed off on him. Son of a buck. Tell you what. Isn't it good to come to church on Wednesday night? Yeah. So tonight we're going to just look at the book of Luke. We're going to start reading in Luke chapter number 9. We're just going to look and read some scripture and see what the Lord might challenge us with. I know that this message is something that challenged me and spoke to me. So we'll just read this scripture and then we'll pray and then we will get started. Luke chapter number 9, verse 51 through 56. And the scripture says, "When the days drew near for him," that's Jesus, "to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them all?' But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village." Father, we just ask you to speak to us tonight, Lord. Speak to us as a congregation. Speak to us as individuals, as couples. Lord, speak to us tonight. We want to hear from you. We want to be challenged as we leave this place tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, so the scripture is telling about Jesus and his disciples walking through the land. They're doing the work of the ministry. They are going around sharing the good news. And the scripture says, as the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up. Jesus was thinking about when he would be taken up into heaven. He was thinking about when he would be arrested, when he would be taken up on top of Calvary Hill. He was thinking about the far off, but I want us to look in a minute and see that he focused on the right now as well. And I'm just telling you, if you want to have a healthy view of life, if you want to have a healthy view of your marriage, if you want to have a healthy view of your singleness, if you want to have a healthy view of raising children, there are times when you have to focus on what's going on right now, and then there are times that you're going to have to learn to focus on what is going to take place in the future. And I'm telling you, that is where the power and the discernment of the Holy Spirit comes in, because we have to discern God's will and we have to know where we are going to point our focus in life. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just going to tell you that's one of the things that the enemy does. It is a tactic of the enemy to get you and I to focus on the wrong thing at the right time. The wrong thing at the wrong time. God, the enemy tries to get us to focus on so many other things that we miss focusing on what is most important in our life. Focus. Jesus. There's a lot of things that are going to take place before Jesus is taken up. We're reading in Luke chapter 9 tonight. It's Luke chapter 22 before Jesus is going to be arrested. There's a lot of stuff that's going to play out, but Jesus is focused. Lord, have mercy. The Lord is speaking to you and I about our focus tonight, about what we are focused on. Focus, everybody, point of attention. Focus. It's a central point of attraction. It's a central point of attention. It's a central point of our activity. We have got to learn to focus. The enemy, I'm going to say it again. I'll say it more times than not. The enemy will come to us and get us focused on this. Come on, somebody. The enemy wants to get us focused on our past. I'm just trying to tell you, I talk to people on a weekly basis and they can't get over their past. And everything is poor me. And they did this to me. And I was mistreated back there. And I made these mistakes back there. And oh, I should have done this back there. We're focused on the past. That is a tactic of the enemy, because if so be that we are children of God and we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, all the old is passed away. It is paid in full by the blood of God's only begotten Son. At some point, look at me, can I be real with y'all? At some point, you got to get over your past. You got to quit using your past as a crutch. You got to quit focusing on what happened in the past. And then there's some of us, we're so focused on the future that we can't enjoy and live right now. We are so focused on what might happen, on what could happen, on if this is going to happen, focused if this is going to be perfect, focused if we can do. We're so focused on the future. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that tomorrow is not promised, so we got to learn to focus on what's important right now. I would ask you this question. What is important to you right now? Well, what is important to you? You know, the Holy Spirit is moving. Where do you need to focus your attention on? Focus. Focus on the right now. Focus on what you can change. Come on, somebody. Some of you folk trying to focus on stuff and you can't change it. You can't fix it. Quit trying to fix everybody else. Quit trying to fix everybody else. Focus on what you can change. Focus. Focus on what you can change. Focus. Focus on good. Focus on what's good. Our world right now is trying everything we can to get us to focus on bad and negative and down and dark. Focus on what is good. Focus on what is priority in our lives. Focus on what is important to us. Jesus set his face like flint. Jesus set his mind. Jesus focused. Isaiah 50, verse number 7 says, but the Lord God helps me. Come on, somebody. The Lord will help you focus on what's important. The Lord will help you. You have the mind of Jesus Christ. Renew your mind. The Lord will help you. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. The Lord wants to help us focus. Can I say one more thing? Can I say one more thing about focus? Here's another one for you. Some people, you ain't focused on nothing. Nothing in particular. You're focused on this, and 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 you're focused on everything, and that rat is running that wheel 100 miles an hour, and you are chaos, and you can never get a task accomplished because you won't focus on nothing. The Lord will help you learn to focus on what is important and what is necessary. Let me give you another thing. You know what? We all have tough times and we all have struggles. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. And when that happens, can I tell you when life sucks? Can I tell you when you can't find a particular scripture to help you? Can I tell you that when there's nobody in your life to come along and raise you up, if you will learn to focus on the Lord, it will change you and your attitude in the middle of a tough time. Colossians 3:2. We got to figure this one out, y'all. Set your mind, focus on the things that are above, not the things that are on this earth. Focus on the Lord. Focus on your deliverer. Focus on your comforter. Focus on your keeper. Focus on the one that redeems you. Focus on the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Focus on heavenly things. We get all this in our mind. Whoa. And we have no peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We got no peace because we got no focus. Watch this. It's the word of God. And we know the word of God is powerful. Shout yes. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When you and I choose to focus on God, he will keep us in perfect peace. He will keep us in perfect peace. One more for you. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Think about a soldier in the foxhole. Think about a soldier on foreign ground, and he has an enemy that is trying to kill him, shoot him, bury him, put him in the grave. I'm telling you, when you know and you realize that you are in war, you won't be worried about what he said or what she said or how I got my feelings hurt or how this ain't working for me. You are focused on one thing, and that is winning the battle and staying alive. I'm convinced if you and I, as the born-again church, would focus on staying alive and focus on destroying the devil and focus on what matters to God, it would change our life. Focus. Look at your neighbor right quick. Shake him right vigorously and say, hey, neighbor, you need to focus. Tell your other neighbor, you need to focus. We need to focus on the right now. I get it. But healthy balance means we focus on the future as well. It brings balance. You can't just focus on everything right now. You've got to focus on what you're going to do in the future. And there brings balance in that. So my question would be, what is God? You can answer this. What is God asking you to be focused on right now? What's most important right now? You know. What is it? Allow the Spirit to speak to you. Give you discernment. I am not going to be deterred. This is the most important thing in my life right now. Nobody's opinion. Nobody else is going to stop me. I am going to focus on what is important to me right now. For your future. For your future. For your future. You got to be smart. You got to focus right now. But you can't spend all your money. You got to save a little bit of it. Come on, somebody. You got to focus for the future. So what is God asking you to focus on right now? And then what is God asking you to set your face on and focus concerning the future? Focus, focus, focus. We got to learn to focus because that's what good leaders, good learners, and good disciples do. I'm not talking about just a Sunday morning go to church kind of person. I'm talking about disciples, followers, learners, and leaders. That's what we do. We get in the presence of God and we talk to God and God speaks to us and we see these visions and we see what God wants to do and God reveals these things to us by His Holy Spirit and then we walk out in such a way that other people will go with us. It's what leaders and learners and disciples do. Maybe we should be asking God right now, and I'm moving on. What is it that I need to focus on right now? Direct my attentions to what is it I need to focus on for the future? The next thing, focus is number one, in case you didn't got that. I mean, I've said it purposely like 500 times. Focus, 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 focus. Everybody say focus. I believe it will help you tremendously. The next thing we can see from this passage that we can learn from Christ is this. Are you ready for this next point? Can I hear a good amen? The power of preparation. The power of being prepared. The power of preparation. Prepared. Being prepared. I am by nature a fly by the seat of my britches kind of guy. But I have had to learn over the 25 years of being married, the 21 years of parenting, and the almost 22 years of pastoring, that things usually work out for the best when I am prepared. When I am prepared, when I am focused here and prepared now for what I am going to step into. Jesus was laser focused, but he sent his disciples into the town where he was going to prepare the way when Jesus got there, to prepare the way, to prepare for his arrival. I'm not exactly sure what that looked like, but Jesus felt it necessary to send them ahead. Jesus felt it necessary for the way to be prepared. When we are trying to be disciples, when we are trying to be leaders, when we are trying to be learners, preparation will equal success. By preparing, it will equal success. Listen to me. Look, look, look. By not preparing, we are actually preparing for failure. Sometimes, oh, y'all ain't gonna help me on this, are you? Sometimes it'll be okay. Sometimes you will work it out. Even a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while. Sometimes you don't have to really prepare and you will step into it and the grace of God will just pour out his blessings and favor on your life. But the majority of the time, God will show up and do what he promised he would do if we do what he has asked us to do and preparing before we take action. Preparation, be prepared, 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 prepared. Let me give you some more scripture. Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Be prepared. Be prepared. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, preparing your mind for action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is this scripture saying? Prepare your mind for action because there is a revelation that Jesus will reveal to you, and your mind better be ready to act when that revelation comes up. Be prepared. Prepare. Can I look at me? Prepare your mind, okay? I love preaching and talking about our mind because that's where the battlefield is. Because the enemy comes into our mind and we lose our focus, and then he wears us out and we have no peace. Come on, somebody. And here he's saying, like, here, prepare your mind for some action. Prepare your mind. Some of us, we just oblivious walking around thinking everything's going to be good and everything's going to be fine. And, oh, praise God, everything. And then we step into a tough season or a tough time, and we're like, whoa, what happened? Listen, prepare your mind that you know we're in war. Prepare your mind that things are not always going to go good. Prepare your mind that the enemy is out there. Prepare your mind to say, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to give up, and I'm not going to let the devil get to me. Prepare your mind, y'all. Prepare your mind. I'll just give you, can I give you a little quick example of that? We're at Bethel here. I feel like, and I'm just giving you a little heads up, I feel like we're entering into a new season at Bethel. We've just shipped Riley and Stephanie off. Sorry, suckers, and they took some folk with them over there. All of a sudden, you know, I don't have an associate pastor to fill in. I think we're in a rebuilding season. Building is tough. Come on, somebody. It's good. It's exciting, but we're rebuilding. We're going to restructure some stuff to handle the new season that God is taking us into. It's rebuilding and it's restructuring. And even the Lord has put on my heart, Cody, this is going to be a season of grinding for you and your family. You're going to have to dig in at this season right here. And so you know what? The Lord has revealed to me and to us this season of rebuilding, this season of restructuring. It's going to be full of change. It's not always going to be easy. But it's God's plan, and so we have prepared our mind that no matter what happens in this season, we're going to grind, we're going to keep pushing forward, we're going to trust the process of God because we have prepared our minds. Focus on what's most important to you, and then when you go after what God has challenged you to focus on, prepare your mind to not give up until you government prepare your mind. Stop letting other people prepare your mind. Stop letting the enemy prepare your mind. Hear from God. Oh, Lord Jesus, I better quit. Prepare your mind. So Jesus is so focused. I love this. Jesus is so focused that when he gets over to the next town, some people won't receive him. Some people won't receive him. They don't get him. They don't understand him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on a task and you have been so focused that you maybe walked by somebody that you really truly care about and love, but you were so focused on what was important or what was priority or what had to happen at that moment that you missed a few things around you? Anybody ever been there? That's why they didn't get Jesus. They were expecting Jesus to come and to meet their needs and to be syrupy and give them a hug and talk to every one of them and meet their needs. But Jesus was so focused on the task at hand that they didn't get him, and they got their feelings hurt and they got offended. Can I say this to you? If there are people in your life that don't understand, sometimes they are not always going to be priority. If there are some people in your life that have become a toxic relationship because all you have to do is attend to them and worry about them, and you can't focus, you know what? You need to stop and look at that relationship. People get mad at the preacher all the time. They don't do it so much anymore because you know how I am now. But I'm telling you, back in the day, and I know lots of preachers, like Sunday morning, man, can I just say this to y'all? Like, I love y'all. I can't tell you how many times somebody tried to catch me at the back door and have 300 people behind them wanting to talk, and they got a 30-minute story they want to tell us and want me to fix their problem at the back door. Can I tell you something? And I'll give them a card. You know what I say to them? Hey, I'll give you 2 hours. I'll buy you lunch. I'll spend time with you. Do what? Just give me a call. But I cannot do it today. Do you know what percentage of the people will call me? About 0.5%. Because they don't want it unless it's convenient. They don't want it unless it's right then. Can I just tell you, on Sunday, I can't talk to you about what needs to take place throughout the week. Sunday, we got to be focused, and we've set our mind to do warfare and to worship and to preach the Word of God. Just saying, sometimes these people get so mad and offended at Jesus because he ain't paying enough attention to them. Jesus is like, you know what? I'm sorry, but I got to be about my Father's business. You got to love the story. Let's talk about the story a little bit more. You got to love the story when James read that story in the Old Testament when people weren't doing right, and Elijah called down fire and smoked them all to pieces. James and John said, well, if they're mistreating you, Jesus, how about we just call down fire from God and smoke them all up? I've thought the same thing about some of you at times past, just saying. Jesus rebuked them, and he goes, no, stop, y'all. Jesus taught him another lesson. Here's lesson point number three. We can't be fleshly minded. We must be spiritually minded. James and John had this fleshly moment come out, and we all got it. Can I get a witness? Our flesh rises up, and we want to deal with things in a fleshly manner. And Jesus goes, stop. You're not Elijah. This ain't the Old Testament. We're into the covenant of grace now. Dispensation of grace. And Jesus is like, no, you can't just smoke them down. Jesus said, stop, you got to focus on spiritual things. How much better off would we be? And when we realize that my wife is not the enemy, it's the devil inside of her that's the enemy. That's just easy. It's the spirit. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle ain't against people. Our battle ain't against the Baptist folk. Our battle ain't against Catholic folk. Our battle ain't against the Mormons. Our battle ain't against the Muslims. Our battle ain't against the Democrats. And some of you, that ticks you off so bad. Our battle ain't against Republicans. Our battle is against the real enemy. And it's spiritual warfare. And it's wickedness in heavenly places. It's demons and evil spirits and fallen angels. That's the battle we're fighting. And sometimes somebody needs to come in and they need to go, stop letting your flesh rise up. Focus on spiritual things. Focus on heavenly things. Romans 8, verse 6 through 7. For to set your mind on the flesh is death. But to set your mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. James and John, their flesh. They're angry. They're mad. They're full of hate. They're full of rage. They're full of bitterness. They're full of jealousy. They're full of these things of the flesh, and that's what they're focused on. I wonder how many of us have been focused on anger this week, focused on rage this week, focused on jealousy, focused on the things of the flesh. And oh, doesn't it feel good to give in to your flesh? Come on, somebody. Doesn't it feel good to stomp your foot and throw something down and say those words and do those things and lash out at people and whip that horse and whatever? Doesn't it feel good to let our flesh to get revenge? Doesn't it feel good for a moment? Because when we chaos and absolutely no peace, Jesus says to them, stop, y'all. Focus on spiritual things. And you know what I love about Jesus? He goes, let's just move on to the next town. If they're going to not receive us here, let's go on to the next town, and we'll keep it to find somebody that receives what we have to say. So, Conrad, worship team, y'all come help me close. Because here's the deal, bottom line, I want us to see this. I want us to look at it. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Focus. Focus. Let me just use a little bit of what's gone on tonight to give you a little example. We have had so many struggles with our sound system here lately. And it is so frustrating to Connor and this worship team. It is so frustrating to those guys in the sound booth back there because they want it to be the best it can be. And you know, at the end of the day, you know what it is? It's the enemy trying to get our focus off of what we gathered in this place to do. Because what we gathered in this place to do is to worship God. God desires that we worship him in spirit and in truth. When we get to heaven, us preachers are going to have preached ourselves out of a job. We are going to worship around the throne forever and ever. Worship is the desire of God's heart for his people to worship him. And you know what? These guys come here to debate it. These guys and gals in the front and the back, and the enemy jacks with technology. And then we get frustrated, and then we get mad, and then our flesh rises up. And all that is to get our focus off of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, all these instruments and all these electronics and all that stuff, they are good and they can enhance a worship experience. But at the end of the day, we don't need nobody leading us. We don't need no guitar. We don't need no drums. All we need is some hands to clap together and a voice that will lift up the name of Jesus and say, be glorified and you are worthy and we worship you and we bless you, God. Because in that place of worship, the Bible said God inhabits that place. And I'm so thankful that we have a leadership in Connor that says, hey, y'all, we're going to focus tonight. We're going to focus on worshiping God through frustrations. I'm just telling you, I know you got frustrations. And I know the enemy is trying to thwart anything God is doing in your life. Focus. Focus. Focus on what's important. Focus on priority. Focus. Rein your mind in. Focus. And then when God reveals to you what you are supposed to focus on, begin to prepare yourself and to prepare your heart to step into the blessings of God. Prepare right now, prepare. I am preparing for the next season at Bethel. I am preparing. It's fun, but we are preparing in our dating to have a successful marriage. We are preparing right now so that when we step into that marriage, that God, that we're prepared, God blesses that thing. Prepare. Prepare for the next season of your life. Prepare right now. Preparation equals success. Focus. Focus and prepare. And as you do so, let me just tell you, some people are not going to get you. Some people are not going to understand that you're so focused and you're so driven on the things of God. They're not going to understand that. They're going to get their feelings hurt. They're going to get upset with you. They're going to want you to focus on something else. You got to know, I heard from God, and God has been before me. And you know what? My eyes haven't seen and my ear hasn't heard the things that God has prepared for me. And I am not going to give up my focus and preparation in order to receive the thing God has for me. Not everybody's going to get you, and you need to understand that. Be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. When you are spiritually minded, you will live different than the world lives. When you are spiritually minded, you will make different decisions. When you are spiritually minded, your marriage will be different. When you are spiritually minded, you will parent your children different. When you are spiritually minded, you will worship different. When you are spiritually minded, you will have life and peace. Be spiritually minded. And then I want to say this as I'm closed tonight. Jesus came to this place. He was focused. His disciples prepared it for him. When he stepped into it, people didn't get him. And when people didn't get him and understand him, he did not let it bother him. He did not get entangled in civilian affairs. He moved on to the next city. It's time for some of us to move on. It's time for some of us to move on. To move on. It's time for us to forget about certain situations, certain things, and move on. Father, I ask you to speak to us tonight, Lord, me included. Speak to us in this room, sound booth, men and women that are in the nursery. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to the men and women that may be watching us online tonight. Speak to us. Speak to us. Holy Spirit, where there is chaos, I speak peace. Holy Spirit, where there is turmoil, I speak calm. Holy Spirit, for the person who has lost their focus, Holy Spirit, Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, come and fill our heads, God. Fill our head and calm it. Calm our brain. And when our brain is calm, Lord, I pray then that it would calm our hearts. And in that calm place, with a still, small voice, speak to us, Lord, about what it's important. Speak to us and what we need to focus on. God, I pray that you begin to reveal to us as what we focus on. You reveal to us that enriched marriage. You reveal to us that next season. As you reveal to us whatever it might be, let us start tonight to prepare for it to be successful. To prepare. To put the work in now to receive the gratification later. To put the work in now to receive the victory tomorrow. Help us focus. Help us prepare. Help us set our mind on things above and put our trust in you. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can stay seated. You can stand up. You can even come to the front and kneel if you want to. I don't care. Let's just let the Lord speak to us and let's do business with Him tonight.